for Good in Bed with your host, Ariel Kaplan. That's me, and that's plagiarism. Hashtag Amanda Bynes, hashtag never forget our queen. I want to schmooze a little. If that's okay with you, like, Jesus, I'm a little feisty today. But enough about me and more about House of Kardashians streaming now on Peacock. I fucking love the Kardashians. They are a dynasty, which is what the documentary is about. It's like a three-part series or something. Why am I bringing up House of Kardashian other than to talk about how much I love the Kardashians? I love the Kardashians so much. I love the Kardashians so much that my Snapchat handle is... Wait, I probably shouldn't... Never mind. Actually, fuck it. Follow me. I don't care. I don't even have notifications on for Snapchat. It's Kardashian Girl. It was supposed to be Kardashian G-U-R-L, girl. So yeah. Anyway, I got really excited to tell that story and then was disappointed by how flat it fell. Why am I bringing up House of Kardashian? Because it is confirmed in the docuseries that Kris Kardashian and Kim Kardashian, Kris is Kim's mom, they made a deal with this porn guy. The girls just want to have fun. Girls gone wild. He talked on camera about brokering the deal for Kim to sell her own sex tape or leak it, whatever. Although real followers will know that this stuff came out mad long ago when Ray J took to this social media scene and posted revealing receipts. At this point, I just want Kim to be like, yeah, I fucking did it. Oh my God. After I watched the documentary, the Kardashians started automatically playing. And in the first episode, the story revolves around the sex tape because they got a reality show after the sex tape was released per the plan. And one of the conflicts in this episode is that Kris tells Kim she has to go on the Tyra Banks show and she has to answer a question about the sex tape. So her sisters, Courtney and Chloe, are prepping Kim and they're like, okay, so what are you going to say when Tyra asks you why you made a sex tape? And Kim goes, because I was horny and I felt like it. The sisters laugh. And it's funny because it's true. It's true. Ray J and Kim filmed a sex tape and then came up with the idea to sell it. So it wasn't, you know, you get what I'm saying? Because like, I don't. To mark Thanksgiving this Thursday, here are some pickup lines from Cosmo.
There's only one cavity I want to stuff tonight. I feel like you can only say it in that accent. I want to see your horn of plenty. I'm not sure what accent I am doing. You put the ass in casserole. Can you stuff me like a Thanksgiving turkey? I lost my turkey. Can I stuff you instead? Oh, heavens. I'm afraid I lost my turkey. Oh, can I stuff you instead?
That was my impression of a Southern belle using that pickup line in like a 1940s black and white movie. And this last pickup line comes from Reddit. Hey girl, are you a turkey? Actually, I want to read this in a girl's voice because it's just better like that. Trust me. Hey girl, are you a turkey? Because I want to cook you, rip your skin off, discard your organs, and devour your meat.
And that concludes that segment of Good in Bed. And now for Fetish of the Week.
A proctophilia. That means farts make you horny. A study published in 2013 in the Archives of Sexual Behavior by lead researcher Mark D. Griffiths. It wasn't really research, it was more like an intake of a patient. Is called a proctophilia in a young adult male. I like it simple, straightforward. This paper blew up the fucking internet. Pun very much intended. Just kidding. I came up with it right now, so I'm just going to read what was written in this paper. One subtype of olfactophilia, a paraphilia where an individual derives sexual pleasure from smells and odors, is a proctophilia. To date, there has been no academic or clinical research into a proctophilia as of 2013. Therefore, the following account presents a brief case study of an proctophilic and given a pseudonym, Brad. Brad gave full consent for his case to be written up on the understanding that he could not be identified and that he was guaranteed full anonymity and confidentiality. Brad doesn't want anybody knowing that he gets turned on by farts. And that is fucking sad. That is a Shonda
That's Yiddish for a shame. It's a shame upon our nations that Brad, a 22-year-old single man from Illinois at the time, doesn't feel comfortable labeling himself in a proctophile. Brad's parents were divorced when he was 6 years old and was an only child. His father remarried when he was 14 years old, and then he gained 3 stepbrothers. Ooh, a regular Brady Bunch. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He was employed in part-time work, but was looking for another job to help supplement his income. He was engaged in minimum wage part-time stuff, quote unquote, but would like to get a job in the arts field, but that it required materials that he does not currently have. He believes in God or prime mover, but does not adhere to any particular religious group. What the fuck is God or a prime mover? To be explored one day, maybe, probably not. We'll see how I'm feeling next week. This week in sex news, a new study published in the Personality and Social Psychology Bulletin reveals why funny romantic partners are more desirable. Because funny people are hot. That's what the whole study says. The method of the study actually comprised of 6 different studies where the researchers manipulated humor in a hypothetical date, online dating profile, or video profile. Participants were then asked to make trait inferences about their hypothetical or imagined partners. The results showed for both men and women, there was no gender discrepancy. Participants who went on the funny date rated their fantasy partner as more creative. This was shown again and again in each study that was replicated. People would rather go on a first date that requires creativity with a funny person versus a not funny person. So it's not that people only want someone who is creative. They are really attractive to a funny, creative person. And they assume that funny people are creative. Great news for people with ADD. Let your mind wander on those first dates. And why are we attracted to creativity? Something about indicating good problem solving skills. And what is life but a fucking problem? I've heard my boyfriend tell other people that he thinks I'm very creative. But actually what I want to know is, am I funny? Do you think I'm funny, Daniel? So the moral of this study is that if you're creative, but you're not comical, that sucks. Why do people fake orgasms? Health research firm Inner Body Research surveyed over 1,100 adults across generations, Gen X, Millennials, and Gen Z, and relationship statuses, married, dating, and single, to find the top 5 reasons why people fake orgasms. But first, a different kind of orgasm gap. Results showed that 45% of women said they have faked an orgasm, while 38% of men said they've faked one. That's not a huge gap. I'm actually surprised about the amount of men who said that they faked it. 48% of millennials said they faked it in the bedroom, a figure that came in at just 27% of Gen X and 20% for Gen Z. I wonder if Gen X is coming more or faking it less just because they're older and you give a fuck less when you're older. I'm older and I give a fuck less. You're welcome to any rappers out there. That's a good line for you. You have to figure out the other rhyming part though. All right, let's get on to it. Here are the top 5 reasons why people said they orgasmed. They wanted sex to be over. This was the top reason for both men and women. 21% of men and 24% of women said they faked an orgasm because they wanted sex to be over. Instead of just saying, I would like to pause this now, please. Number 2, they didn't want to hurt their partner's feelings. Women care a little bit more, or they think that their partner would be more upset. 21% of women versus 15% of men cited not wanting to hurt their partner's feelings. I was telling my boyfriend about this study. Oh, can I stop talking about my boyfriend for one sec? No, I literally can't. Anyway, my boyfriend. I don't remember what I was talking about, so I'm moving on. The third top reason was cited as fake it till you make it. 14% of men and 12% of women said this. Fake it till you make it. That doesn't apply here, I don't think. Maybe it does. It's all mental, right? Right? The top 4th reason was to turn their partner on. 10% of women versus 15% of men cited this reason. The 5th top reason actually is different among men and women. Wouldn't you know? For 9% of women, the reason they faked their orgasm was due to avoidance. They did not want to explain why they couldn't orgasm to their partner. Probably because their past partners were dicks. Among men, however, the fifth cited reason for faking an orgasm was partner enjoys it. I feel like a lot of these kind of mesh together. The more important thing at hand is why you shouldn't fake an orgasm. It's pretty clear that all of these people had bad communication skills and they were afraid of rejection, of not being good enough, feeling like they're too much, like they're taking too long to come. I definitely feel that way. But don't fake your fucking orgasms, because everyone has trouble coming sometimes, at least once in your life. Syphilis, bitch, it's out here. This just in, the CDC says that in 2022, there were more than 3,700 cases of congenital syphilis reported. That's a tenfold increase in cases since 2012. Congenital syphilis is when a baby has syphilis. Is when a baby has syphilis. The baby can only get it through the mother in utero. And although many mothers and babies can be asymptomatic, and mothers can be treated during pregnancy if they have syphilis, congenital syphilis is really dangerous. Babies can have really serious health issues like deformed bones, severe anemia, and brain and nerve problems. In 2022, 231 stillbirths and 51 infant deaths were reported due to congenital syphilis. Why is this happening, you ask? I'll tell you. The increase in reported syphilis cases represents a failure to identify and treat cases in pregnant women, which is usually done during prenatal care. However, 2 in 5 people who gave birth to a baby with syphilis did not get prenatal care. And then there's also the general rise in syphilis, as well as gonorrhea and chlamydia. Between 2015 and 2019, there was a nearly 30% increase in cases. People aren't getting tested as much as they used to, which wasn't that much to begin with. But because of the pandemic, STI screening wasn't prioritized. And a study in 2021 found that STI screenings for men decreased by 63% and 59% for women in the early months of the pandemic. Research shows that the best way to decrease rampant chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis is to have more comprehensive sex ed and more awareness about STIs. STIs can be asymptomatic, and I feel like a lot of guys won't get tested because they don't feel anything funky on their body. Well, bitch, this is what you say to them. Well, bitch, if you wanna make love to me or treat me like a dirty, dirty whore, you're gonna have to go and get tested. Audio chat dating app Amores has created Text From My Ex, a GPT-powered algorithm which promises to analyze your text conversation with your lover or your ex, providing you with some extra sassy relationship insights and a compatibility score to share with friends. Lol. I guess you can do this with your platonic friends as well. Text From My Ex will analyze all of your texts, and it'll tell you stuff like your attachment styles. It'll explore the styles of communication that shaped your relationship, quote unquote. All this is I'm quoting from the website. It'll spot sexiness and moments of intimacy and passion that made your connection special. It'll read for highlights and lowlights, recognize the challenges you face as a pair. It spots cute moments and, most controversially, why the relationship will never work. Text From My Ex will help you understand the fundamental issues making or breaking the relationship. This is all just based on text messages, guys. There's a tiny, 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 tiny little bit of me that wants to do this. Everyone has different texting styles. My boyfriend texts me like a parent. He adds periods and shit that freak me the fuck out. But I've grown to understand his texting style. I don't think that their AI bot will understand the nuances of, you know, his punctuation. And here's a local Kentucky, Missouri story for you. I love local sexy stories. A Missouri library has bought extra copies of a porn book to conduct a review. St. Charles City County, is it a city? Is it a county? I don't know. St. Charles City County Library Board of Trustees is forming a committee to review a book and examine if it violates any laws. KSDK News reports St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman and St. Charles City Mayor Dan Borgmeyer, boo, are pressing the St. Charles City County Library Board of Trustees to review the book entitled Bang Like a Porn Star, Sex Tips from the Pros. And they requested sexually explicit books be placed in special areas and library branches, like their lockers. Bang Like a Porn Star, Sex Tips from the Pros has no place in the public library, period, said AJ Terrell, who's been fighting to get the book off library shelves and into his personal bookcase. So a bunch of guys want this book out of the library. Prior to the latest purchase, only one copy of Bang Like a Porn Star had been available on the shelves at the library's Kisker Road branch near Weldon Spring. So the library forms a committee and they're like, okay, well, we all need copies of this. Library spokesman Lori Beth Crawford said she didn't know when the committee would make a decision on the challenge. Under the guise of reviewing a book that prudes are trying to ban, Miss Lori Beth Crawford said, we'll take our goddamn time with Bang Like a Porn Star, Sex Tips from the Pros. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Good in Bed, a weekly sex news podcast hosted by me, Ariel Kaplan. I bring you the latest headlines in sex research, news, pop culture, and whatever the fuck I want. And you, in return, give me a 5-star rating and written review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. I feel like people don't request reviews anymore. You won't get what you want unless you ask for it. So I'm here championing myself and asking you. Yeah, you. I'm talking to you, bitch. My baby bitch love. My baby cunt bitch. All right, everyone. Have a lovely Thanksgiving. Get stuffed. And tune in next week for headlines that'll help you get good in bed. Okay, bye. Love you.